What if you stopped trying to fix yourself and started practicing the art of returning to yourself? Because the truth is, you aren't broken. You never were. You're just in bloom, and growth doesn't have a deadline. Welcome back to Mystical Sisterhood, the space where we peel back the layers of hustle and healing and striving to find the wholeness that was there all along. I'm your host, Maureen Spielman, and today we're going to talk about loving ourselves back to wholeness. If you've ever treated life as a destination and needing to be somewhere now, or the sooner the better, consider this your invitation to slow down, settle in, and realize you are on your own timeline, at your own pace, and that anything is possible in your life. You were born worthy of experiencing the all of it. In all areas of your life, no part of you left behind. We're also exploring how compassion and willingness act as the bridge between where you are and the radical self-acceptance you deserve. Let's dive into this episode and learn how all areas of your life can expand. Are you obsessed with the mystic? Are you looking for sisterhood? Are you ready to explore your inner magic? You've arrived, sister. Welcome home. I'm Maureen Spielman, and I started this show to highlight the intuitives, healers, and other courageous women I have met along my journey. Through amazing interviews, we go deep into the mystics and uncover the ways in which you can apply the knowledge and wisdom in your own life. We are all in this together. Sharing healing and joy in community is both my passion and my purpose. Here's today's conversation. So welcome back to Mystical Sisterhood. This is your host, Maureen Spielman. And welcome to any and all new listeners. If you're new, I'm excited to have you here because there's so much value in the 160 plus episodes that have been going down here in Mystical Sisterhood's little place on this earth. And so I'm really happy to have you. And there are just so many episodes that I consider keys to unlocking who it is you became to be in this lifetime. It's who you are. But so many of us are on the rediscovering phases at midlife of what that means to be ourselves. So, yeah, you know, whether it's through the personal growth and transformational topics or ways to tap into your inner mystic, it's all here for you. And to my people who are just great supporters of Mystical Sisterhood, rain or shine, thank you, thank you. That deepest gratitude from my heart is streaming from me to you. So thank you. You can probably hear it in my voice. You know who you are. If you take me on walks or press play on Wednesdays or whenever you get to it, I know who a lot of you are, but I don't know who all of you are. And it always surprises me, like flat out bowls me over, that there are people that have been listening that I have no idea. And so in saying that, please reach out, send me an email or follow me on Instagram at Maureen Spielman and send me a message. So I'm recording today on the much awaited, much acclaimed zodiac, the Chinese zodiac new year of the year of the fire horse. I'm seeing this more and more and more and more. I feel like we're transitioning from the year of the wood snake to the fire horse. And there's been a lot of lead up to it. And here we are. And I don't think that it's all occurring, like all the shedding's done. Okay, we're done with it. The wood snake's over. And I don't know if it's like another 12 years, but the year of the fire horse, someone had said that the original year of the fire horse, or the last one when fire and horse were together, because I think it's that there's the animals of the Chinese zodiac, and then they go together with the elementals like the fire, earth, air, water, and I guess wood, since it was the wood snake. That's a stretch. I'm not sure. Someone correct me, please. It doesn't really matter. It's the going from shedding to reclamation, moving with the energy. Super exciting. I'll take it. I think we'll all take it. I think we all feel a desire to be experiencing this in the world that is a lot at times. So I'm excited to be here today to talk about loving ourselves back to wholeness. And I chose this topic because it came to me in short order, and I decided to just go with it. I have personally been on a journey of loving myself back to wholeness. It's not a 3-week course. It's not, you know, something that has an expiration date. It's just the truth of who we are in our wholeness. We came into the world whole as babies. We didn't yet have those experiences that drew us away from who we are. I always think of children playing and the joie de vivre they have. And, you know, until people start telling them no, I think they're pretty exuberant. And I think it's a beautiful way to remember, not that we're remembering, you know, what exactly happened, but recalling or bringing to mind our wholeness and our enoughness and our worthiness, the things we strive for, they are part of us. So for me, it's been an uncovering of those things by going through a process, which I'm going to share today. It's not necessarily a 5-step process, but it probably has 5 steps in it. If you know me and you've been around, I am not one of the masks that I have not worn is the perfectionist. In fact, I grew up in a household where it was the beauty of the C student a bit. We were not pushed academically to have to be and achieve and do those things per se that I think a lot of people, if they identify with perfectionism, it does come through the accolades and our grades and our achievements. I don't think that I had as much of that growing up. And so I didn't adopt needing to be perfect. And that's freeing and everything, but I wore my own masks for sure. Just coming back to your wholeness, for me, I want to just say that probably the biggest key to my wholeness has been my ability to apply compassion and willingness to my journey. And I am like everyone else who has struggled in parts of their lives. When I was younger, I'll just say it, you know, I was a bit at war with myself. You wouldn't have known that externally, but you may have if you were astute. But I did meet a lot of the markers of social approval or, you know, milestones or things that I was supposed to be doing. I was out with people. I was living my life. But then this inner dialogue I had was probably quite toxic. And that's why I never really knew this idea about compassion. And another word I think is self-love. But it's like, how do we practice that? And I just want to open the door. And I wonder, you know, how compassion plays a role in your own life and how much room it takes up in your mental processes. It's one that I'm quick to apply to others these days. And at the core, it was me who really needed it. So I think that's a beautiful thing that we have this tool that is not monetized, that, you know, unless you're paying for someone to, or investing in yourself for someone to kind of teach you the road back to wholeness and compassion, it is free to you. And, you know, I think I did a episode on inner technologies not too long ago. And it's just like, all this stuff is within us. It guides us. It's free to us. It's accessible, but we have to learn what are you talking about? And how do I do that? Because there still, I think, is a how-to, but the how-to is the uncovering, because we know how to do it. We just have had that like part of us. I don't want to say forgotten. We've forgotten, yes, because it was natural to us. But also it's like, we just didn't learn. I was going to say it was erased in some way, but we just didn't learn. So we're not here to like achieve or have to, we have to find wholeness. We return to it. And in doing so, you become it. You already are it, and you be it. So it's in you. Yeah. I think that life it brings along what it brings in order for us to learn through. But I do know, the one thing I do know is that we are not projects to be fixed, but we have this underlying masterpiece to be uncovered. I think that an underlying reason that I was drawn towards wholeness for this episode was that I absolutely used to be a person who siloed the parts of my life. So certain parts were going well. I was cultivating, let's say, healthy relationships with my children. I was embarking on a new career, let's say. I felt good about the way I was treating my body, you know, after years of not having a great relationship with it. But, you know, I don't know about you, but like I tended to think of my life in these pieces and parts, not realizing that the whole really, when things start to click and sort of, you know, jive within us, that it's the whole and that one piece affects the whole. And so when I realized, I think there was an inner realization like, okay, Maureen, I think that thinking's faulty, that you can actually have happiness in some areas of your life, but not all. So I knew, you know, do you ever have a guiding thought like that where you're like, this is the way that I'm thinking, but then part of me knows it's not really that reasonable. So as I've applied some of this work to becoming whole again, it's a very interesting thing that's happened where the quote unquote pieces or parts of my life are becoming one. And so I'm not open to someone over here and able to have intimacy if I'm not able to have intimacy with myself and my body, if I'm not experiencing it with other loved ones. You know, it's just like working towards the whole, if that makes sense. So our soul doesn't really compartmentalize. And I think when you heal the relationship with ourselves, every relationship, whether it's with other people or parts of ourselves, improves just by being in that energetic field. It's the delayering process. It's the shedding that we're going through. So when I began to turn the mirror towards myself, at first I didn't know how to do that in a loving and compassionate way. But I will say that it first occurred for me when I was like, whoa, I'm really, if someone says you're the creator of your reality, like, okay, then what role are you playing in it? And I did have a sense most of my life that life was happening to me, absolutely. And when life happens to you, you become quite reactionary. And for me, it was also being quite stuck in my thought patterns. And so it was the fall of 2020, we were deep in the pandemic, myself and about 140 other people, mostly women, embarked on Dr. Shefali's, I think it was her fourth cohort, conscious parenting. And if anyone listening here took the course alongside me or at any other cohort, it was so full of information and wisdom and beauty and, oh my gosh, like left and right hitting you with great wisdom teachers, thought leaders, concepts, you know, for your own life. And being this person that, you know, knew I had some control and choice over my life, I was also in a victim mentality. And by that, I mean that I was a victim to my life, and that the experiences, especially painful ones with other individuals that I was having, that it was all their fault, you know, that I had no part in the co-creation of what was going on. And let me tell you, if you have been any part of that journey of taking responsibility for the co-creation, it's a journey. It is not a one and done. It is not something we do like super fast. And to that, I say, be with yourself on your own timeline, your own journey, your own process, because there is no finish line. And when we uncover and peel back and just realize that, okay, wow, you know, my thoughts do matter. My relationship to myself matters. How am I going to work on my judgments? How am I going to work on my projections on other people? How am I going to work with my reactivity that was still there? The parts where I could still, you know, still residually blow up at something. How is I going to be with those parts of myself without blaming it on someone else? And you know, anything can happen to me now. And I remember one particular time, to give an example, I was very reactive and very defensive. And I was a mom of young kids. And so I had gone to the local grocery store and gosh, I think someone opened, or maybe I opened my door into their car and the person kind of went berserk on me, but I reacted very strongly. And I didn't yell at them or anything like that, but internally I was so pissed. I was reactive. It was their fault. And I couldn't understand it as anything other than that. And now I would take that situation differently, you know, maybe saying like, how is that for me? And is it for me to slow down? Is it for me to know that someone else, you know, and myself deserves a compassionate kind of response? So all sorts of things, but it was that turning of the mirror, I say to myself, of like, okay, you are the creator here and you are responsible for your reactions. And that's when I began to look at things. And conscious parenting is a lot of that, because it's a lot of reparenting yourself and coming from reaction to response, from harshness to, you know, loving, whatever that kind of like movement is on a scale. It allows you to move from this place that's more extreme, really, to something softer. I'll also add that 2 years before that, I had gone through a significant illness that lasted, it was like a year and a half, let's say, from start to finish of what I needed to get done. And luckily, you know, I am in the clear now. And but that was a very, very big part of my life. And it preceded the Dr. Shefali course. That's when I started knowing that everything that was in front of me, it was what it was, but that I could also supplement those things with my own choice. And that's kind of when I began to really key into the mystical and the unseen and tap into my intuition or do energy healing through Reiki or acupuncture. And the people who came into my life then and who guided me are very special to me. They have a very special place in my heart because they opened me up to new modalities. And I think it really opened me up to really highlighting everything I do now, not only the personal growth, but like all these people who work really in these mystical arts. And we are all the mystic. It's within us. But part of my journey was really important and led me from Dr. Shefali to Suzy Lula, spiritual psychology and what she called soul care at the time, and really began to learn about our soul's journey, which is just a fascinating scope of study too. But, you know, where anywhere during that time, it was the beginning of like the great letting go. So the wood snake didn't happen just in 1 year for any of us, right? The great letting go, or maybe you're in the letting go and the great letting go is coming, but I think it's always occurring. And I think that that's one of the beauty of living this life is that we get to do that work. But it was a pivotal moment for me to realize like, okay, this isn't all happening to me. And I began to let love in. I began to cultivate the way I wanted to feel through what I read, through the women I was talking to, through the conversations I was having and creating. I began to honor what I needed. I needed to listen to myself and give myself these qualities that I hadn't experienced in childhood. And I know that we all have heard, well, I grew up in a pretty loving home and my parents did the best they could. So I always say that, right? So people know like, yeah, it's okay to have grown up and maybe you didn't grow up. Maybe you grew up in a more abusive place where it was clear what was happening around you. But those things that we do not get in our youth, we now have agency and ability to give to ourselves. And it's really in that process of being like, okay, I didn't get that. Mourning the loss, absolutely. I spent many years doing that. But then practical tools to say like, okay, what are my needs? What are my unmet needs? And, you know, I was thinking about how like I grew up in the 70s, 80s, and I really became an adult in the 90s. And self-help and self-realization, I think they were probably stemming, of course, psychology existed, right? But they were stemming out of the 1970s. And that's kind of self-realization, actualization movements and the hippies and love, you know, promoting love. And that age of Aquarius. But it really led me to know that as I started to delve into, okay, now that you're taking responsible action for yourself and kind of creating this knowledge base, what are your needs? So learning that when my emotions showed up for me, that I wasn't a bad or wrong person. Maybe I wasn't ready to, but you don't have to closet these parts because, you know, also growing up, you know, we ask parents often, you know, how did your family handle anger? How did you handle sadness? And, you know, most of us, honestly, I don't want to generalize, but most in our generation didn't have the soft place to land. And in fact, you put your nose in the grindstone and you got forward and you didn't, we grew up in a big family. So my parents didn't have the skills, but they also didn't have the time. And we knew that. And so what that does then, it creates this culture of inner poverty and scarcity. And, you know, all I did as a kid was scream into a pillow. And geez, God, at least I was getting the emotion out, but it wasn't that comforting. I always remember when Gabor Mate says that trauma is not necessarily what happened to you, but it's how you processed and how you talked about it. And he always asked this seminal question of who did you tell? And, you know, I didn't know how to talk to people. How about you? And so I just feel like that his work of compassionate inquiry, it's called, is just so beautiful. Again, the tie-in of the compassion with passion for ourselves. And how many parts did we bury or they didn't even see the light because we felt ashamed of them or alone? Because I think what happens is when we have these parts of ourselves that are running the show in the subconscious, they dictate the actions we take. And for me in my youth, it was so many actions that I was not proud of. And I would just put on this smoke screen of like, oh, she's got it all together. You know, let's put a little homecoming crown on her. Yep, she's great. And also, it also fosters, now that I'm saying that, this need that I don't need help. I'm fine. Because when you present as fine, people treat you as fine and they think you're a completely functional member of society. So, you know, part of it is also opening ourselves to the openness. And as it's like, you can see, I'm thinking of like that soap opera called As the World Turns, but like even with ourselves, when we're discovering these elements and what we tuning into our needs, we begin, something in us turns. We're shedding, we're understanding. And this is the process of consciousness, right? It's becoming more aware. And when we begin to find, we just don't find random places to discuss our life story. We find safe places. And within my coaching programs, and then the women I was meeting to the side, and it's just like, I was creating like this safe haven around me. And again, like when light is shown on something and we share things, it doesn't hold as much shame, because when light reaches that shame, it like loosens its grip on us and its tentacles. And again, so it's a process. And I had written the qualities of love are soft and compassionate. They are abundant and generous. Love doesn't withhold or punish. Love is giving and infinite. So by turning compassion and love inward, parts that were once relegated, stories that were full of shame, begin to be freed. And I know for myself too, that when I began to share in these safe spaces, shame lifted, guilt lifted, and I realized there was nothing about my story that was wrong or bad. How could there be? If I came in wholeness, nothing about that wholeness had changed. In fact, it had always been intact. And that's why I'm such a proponent of, you know, creating community and creating safe spaces, whether it's through, you know, a 4-week workshop or community experiences or live events. They're bringing people together so we can express more of who we are in a safe and loving environment. And so, you know, even in doing that, we're recreating what we didn't get and what we want to experience. So if you relate to any of what I shared today, start looking at the places within you that you might still be holding yourself to a place of needing to be somewhere where you aren't yet. And I love the word yet, because it suggests that it's something that we may desire for ourselves, and it's not that we can never have it, right? There's no withholding there. I don't think the world was designed in that way, but it's okay that we're not there yet. If I've learned anything about our soul's journey, our soul's contract is that we're each on our own divine path. It is that we each have something uniquely us to express, but we're also on our own divine path with its timing, with the ways that it unfolds. And so we're not there yet. It's the and yet. It's not the either or, the good or the bad. It suggests that we are a work in progress and that it's okay and it doesn't all have to be done now. So I love those, the power of yet and the power of a work in progress. Because there's no timeline for your own evolution. This growth is and can be a slow burn, and there's a sacredness in that. There's a beauty in that. So often we take things like the wood snake and think, all my shedding is meant to be done now. Fire horse is starting today. All that shedding is done. No, I've been in conversations with close friends about this. We were given one life to live. And I think that if we're willing and curious to see the myriad ways we come back to ourselves and to our wholeness and stand by what matters to us, that we move into a beautiful direction. And so it's happening all the time. You're shedding, you're letting go, you're releasing, you're deconditioning. It's happening all the time. And there's no timeline. And that's beautiful. And if we can do this work with a compassionate heart towards ourselves, our hearts will open. And then we just allow more of ourself, our selfness to be seen. So today's episode may be more poetic about life itself and our role within our own lives. Yet I hope there are takeaways for you or things that were resonant for your own life. We're all on this path of loving ourselves back to this wholeness. And I personally have been willing to stay the course. It has been frustrating, but I come to myself with a lot of love these days. And you know, the more that we bring these qualities of just slowing down, a compassionate heart, openness, willingness, curiosity, we discover our abundance. We discover our enoughness and our wholeness, and we begin to manifest. Manifest is something that's part of us naturally as well. And I can just say that this investment in myself has paid off in spades for myself, and sure, for my family too. And it does so in the feelings of freedom, expansion, and just crossover to all areas of my life. And now I don't have to silo anymore. I don't have to focus on one thing over the other. They all expand in their own time, and they all begin to just kind of affect one another. It's simple and it's not, but it really is. It's just what we didn't learn as kids. Relearning is something I am passionate about, as you can feel. And with this soft sun on an unseasonably warm day in the Midwest after a very cold winter coming over my shoulder, I will leave you with the idea that you are whole, you are worthy. You came to know yourself intimately and you're on the path. I love learning next to you and leading women back to the wholeness and light. So if you have curiosity about what it looks like to work with me, send me an email at hello@maureenspielman.com, or you can DM me on Instagram @MaureenSpielman. I love just being in process with you and unlocking the ways in which you come back to self is my work, and my transformation is here to be shared with you on the podcast and, you know, in any kind of circles or workshops I hold, because the light in me sees the light in you. And what are you no longer willing to wait for? I think it's time. I think the year of the fire horse is signifying it's time for you. It's time for us. It's time for the collective to rise together. So with that, thank you, gratitude, and I will see you in the next episode. Thanks for listening to this episode of Mystical Sisterhood. If you love what you heard, please hit that subscribe button wherever you're listening. And if it's on Apple or Spotify, I would be so grateful for a 5-star rating and review. And be sure to share with a friend if you're called to do so. To learn more about my one-on-one coaching programs and join the Mystical Sisterhood community, visit MaureenSpielman.com or MysticalSisterhood.com.